WWE.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, and you are listening to The Rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Today I went to see Santa at the Mall of America. I don't think I found him, though, but I did find at least a security guard, but he had a white beard, and I said, Santa Claus, or dude, you'll have to do. I'm going to tell you what I want for Christmas this year. All I want for Christmas is Bray Wyatt.
And her producer, Sir Rock.
And seeing as this is Christmas, it reminds the Rock of his very favorite Christmas story, entitled Rocky the People's Reindeer. You see, Rocky the People's Reindeer was very large and very tall. And unlike Kevin Kelly, he actually had a set of balls. All the other jabroni reindeer used to be so jealous and look at him in vain because they couldn't stand the fact that all the people would be chanting Rocky's name.
Rocky, 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 Rocky.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa was drunk and full of gas. So Rocky took his big bag of toys and shoved them straight up Santa's candy ass!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Considering this is Christmas, the Rock has got one more thing to say. You better not laugh. You better not cry. You better not pout. Rock's telling you why. Drama Bull is coming to town.
Bah humbug.
Good evening, good morning, and good day, everyone. It is The Rack, the Merry Christmas Jingle All the Way Spectacular.
Jingle.
Is that what we're calling it?
Jingle All the Rack.
Jingle All the Rack. I will get it totally wrong. But Jingle All the Rack, Christmas Spectacular. Yay, Christmas!
Woohoo, it's finally. Wait, it's here?
It's here.
Wow.
Scary.
I'm so not ready. Like,
right?
It's like, oh, it's December. What?
Where did this year go? Like, where did it go? Honestly.
I don't really know where this year's gone. It's gone many different places. You've gone many different places. We've done many different things. And it's like,
right?
Wow. Like, December went by really, really fast. It's like, and I think part of the reason why it hasn't felt like it, the weather hasn't changed yet. I mean, it's gotten cold on the East Coast, but it hasn't gotten
cold. Winter hasn't set in.
And that's why and you hear a lot of people, at least a lot of East Coasters, saying, it doesn't feel like Christmas yet, because it's not yet.
Here it does, because it's about 60 degrees and we're having thunderstorms, so that's pretty accurate and pretty close to what we have.
Well, yeah, that's your weather down there, but it's just sort of...
I mean, that's normal for Christmas.
It's normal for Christmas, but it's like... It's like, where's that big old snowstorm that's supposed to kick in? Where's that big burst of coldness where you need heavy, heavy jackets? It came early in November.
Mm-hmm.
We had some bitter cold, and then it just sort of normaled out, and I'm okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that. By the way, if you are listening for the first time, I am the host, Lindsay Ward, He is the producer slash co-host slash elf Sorokin.
Not Handyman?
You're not a Handyman this week, you're an elf.
I'm an elf this week, okay. Just making sure. Yeah,
it's the Christmas special, you're an elf.
So what would that make you?
I'm an elf.
You're an elf as well, okay.
We'll go with elf, even though I am not tall, and I'm not graceful, and I'm not Kate Blanchett, I am an elf. Really more hobbit-sized.
Well, you know. It works for you. But, yeah, it just sort of, I don't know, the season is not fully kicked in. It's like, oh, it's going to be 50s for the Christmas. Yay, 50! Oh, it's Christmas on Thursday. Hooray! But the good thing is, at least for me, everything is done.
Yes, everything is done, everything is wrapped, everything is ready to go. Not running around like a chicken with your head cut off, which is always a nice feeling.
Well, that was...
Yay.
That was Friday in Target. Get it all done. And Friday was...
Oh my god, I was in the mall Tuesday.
Right.
And it was just nuts. And to be fair, I've been in the mall right before Christmas. I haven't been in the mall 2 days before Christmas. Oh my sweet baby Jesus on a tiny pony, why did you people wait so long?
And they do it every single year.
I mean, I saw people getting hot with each other over stuff. It's like, you know, once it waited till 2 days before Christmas. And what sucks is, it's like, you have to go out and buy it, and you gotta go home and wrap that crap before Christmas Eve. Like, that just... That's no bueno. No bueno.
Here's a better question. Who are the more nuts? Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving or Black Friday?
Christmas Eve. I've been out on Christmas Eve. Been out on Black Friday too. Christmas Eve. All the way. Christmas Eve is insane. Because it's everybody who literally waits to the last minute to get everything. But we shouldn't get too deep into that because we have stuff to get into.
We do have, well, we have a lot of stuff to get into, and it's your stuff.
My stuff?
Yeah, we're going to get it deep into your stuff. All your likes, your dislikes, your favorite color. No. It's all the stuff they want to know.
Oh dear. Oh no.
That's right. We're playing another edition of Ask the Rack.
Oh, goody.
And by the looks of it, I'm going to take a beating in this one.
Yes.
She takes the evil laugh of, oh crap.
I'm getting out of it.
Sort of.
Well, you know, you're Mr. Mystery Enigma over there, so.
Well, somebody wants to take some shots, but we'll let him have his fun, because...
Yeah. Take all the shots you want at him.
she's going to be ready for this, and you'll ask the question, so, you know. She's all excited. She's really, really excited.
I don't get to take that many shots on a daily basis.
That will wind you up on the naughty list, because that's a bold-faced lie.
I'm pretty sure I'm already on the naughty list for other reasons.
Yeah, but you lie. You take shots whenever you get them.
Yeah, I do.
So
I really
she's just full of crap right there. But she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So we have a lot of questions to get into. We're going to do that here in a little bit. But it's been a year, hasn't it?
It's been a year. We've had a lot of changes.
A lot of changes is a good thing, right?
Some good, some not so good.
What was the not so good?
My stuff got damaged in the move.
Yeah. But the good was you're back in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm free of Mormon land. Yay!
Just think about that. You started the year of the show. We were doing the show. You were in Utah. Now you're back in Georgia. We're on the same time zone now, which is weird.
It's weird, but it's completely awesome. And let me tell you something. I still catch myself thinking in Mountain Time. Well, especially when it pertains to this show, because there are certain things that I'm used to being on TV when we're doing the show, and they're not on TV. it's just, it's still an adjustment, but yeah, it's, when we started the year, I didn't know if I was going to get back, and July came, end of June, July came, and I was on my way back, and now here I am, and I'm back where I belong.
Yes, yes, you are. She's back on the East Coast. She's back where she belongs. And it's good to have her back on the East Coast.
Yes. It's great to be back. No more cold. No more snow. Can I just... Okay, I just have to brag about this for a second. It's winter, right? Winter in Georgia. Y'all want to know what winter in Georgia is? It's 50 degrees and sunny. 50s, 60s, sunny, great, great weather. Wonderful weather. I can wear shorts at Christmas. It's awesome.
Right.
Out there, it's cold, it's snow, it sucks.
Would you like to know the current temperature in Salt Lake City, Utah?
I bet it's in the 30s.
32 degrees.
Called it.
Feels like 27.
Called it. Are they getting snow?
No, no. Actually, tomorrow's going up to 48.
Ooh, it's a heat wave.
How about that? You go and it actually gets warm in Salt Lake.
Well, it does get warm in Salt Lake. But it's something of, it's like normally there's already at least a foot of snow on the ground and it's cold and nasty. And what people don't understand when you live out there is...
Oh, wait, wait. Snow on Thursday.
See? I know the weather.
Yes, yes, you do.
But what people don't understand is when you live in, specifically in Salt Lake, you get sun like 200 something days a year out there, and it's mostly in the spring and the summer and the fall, and the majority of your overcast cloudy days are in the winter. Because
right.
You deal with the inversion and you deal with everything else, and it's just really, winters out there are not fun at all. Would not recommend it for any extended period of time, especially if you have any kind of health problems. Don't go out there in the winter. You won't be able to breathe. But yeah, so I'm really, really happy to be back in Georgia.
Has she said she's happy to be back in Georgia yet?
I'm so happy.
So that's the changes you've personally gone through. But this show, we've done some pretty interesting things this year on this show.
Well, that's not all the personal things, but yes, we have done some amazing things on this show this year.
Well, people know that you're not gainfully employed.
I have a job. Yes, I'm gainfully employed. I'm making money. I can now buy wrestling tickets.
And wrestling action figures that are taking over her life.
Not just my life, my desk at work. My desk is like has 5 action figures, and it's going to grow as they come out. But yeah, being gainfully employed is awesome. But yeah, we did something this year.
To quote a Canadian, that we thought would never, ever happen.
Yeah. And we talked about it when it happened, but I want to talk about it again. And that was, what, 2.5 years ago at this point? Two and a half?
Carry the 1, yeah.
Almost 3?
Almost 3, yeah. We're almost coming up in 3 years.
Scary. So basically about 3 years ago when we started this show, with another person. She and I were both Kane fans. And we were joking about how awesome it would be to interview Kane, but there was no way we were ever going to get to interview Kane because Kane never does press. And when he does press, it's really, really difficult to get him.
Now, at the time, we should mention what Kane was doing at that time. He was an evil, evil monster trying to really, really take down John Cena to have him embrace the hate. That was the Kane 2.5, 3 years ago. just think about that for him. He had the big iron mask and all that 3 years ago. Look where look where he's at now. Just that transformation. Just so 3 years ago when he was in the big iron mask, there was no chance in hell he was an evil, evil villain. Continue.
Yeah. So we thought there was no way that we would ever get him. And lo and behold, about what, 6 weeks ago?
October 16th.
Okay, more than 6 weeks. I have no reference for time. Get this message.
Well, if you want the message, that's even a little bit more than that. But yeah.
Yeah, but basically we had started to get Kane in the summer. We had sent out feelers. It was, okay, well, he's going to be doing press for See No Evil 2. Let's see if we can get it. Let's take a stab in the dark at it. See what happens. Because you know what? The worst they can tell us is no. That's kind of our philosophy with every interview we try to book. Is it's like, the worst they can say is no. On the flip side, the worst they can say is yes. We actually have to do it.
We actually have to actually interview the person. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, lo and behold, they said yes, and we got Kane, and it was kind of one of those moments where it's extremely cool, but it's extremely surreal at the same time, because it's, you're thinking back to when the show started, you're thinking back to the original list of people that we wanted to get on the show that we thought would be a big get for us, and you fast forward it 3 years to where we are now, and we're interviewing Kane. And we're doing it with WWE's blessing on a WWE call with them listening. And it was something really, really phenomenal. And for everybody wondering, because I've gotten asked this a lot, what was it like? It was the most terrifying interview I have ever done. I couldn't breathe at the start of it. I thought I was going to pass out.
True story.
True story. He came on the phone and I could barely talk.
Wow, yeah.
Because it's... Like, he came on the phone, and my stomach, which was already kind of in a knot, just, like, knotted. Because you're sitting there, and you're like, oh my god, he actually... Because, you know, there's always this fear when we do an interview of, they're not going to pick up, they're not going to call, there's going to be problems,
Because we've run into a bunch.
Because we've had that happen, so it's like, okay, well, you know, until they actually call and the person's on the other line, you really don't get that nervous. And then when they call, you get a little bit more nervous, and then when the person comes over the line, it's, oh, holy crap. And that's what it was with Kane. When they called and he was on the line, it was, oh my god, it's gonna happen. We're actually going to do this. And I have to add that not only did we interview Kane that week, but that was also my first week of work. So I'm at my present job. So you can imagine that I'm trying to figure out a way to interview Kane while being in orientation for work. Luckily, it all worked out. But it was just one of those moments that for me, it was like, oh my god, he's actually on the phone. Oh my god, it's going to happen. We're really going to interview Kane. We're really going to do this. And then I couldn't talk.
So she quickly got over that, as you've heard. And if you haven't, go to rockradioshow.com. You can hear it all now.
But yeah, that was a really cool, surreal moment. And it's something that still makes me smile. The bumper still makes me smile because this show was started essentially because of Kane. And the fact that we got to interview him was really neat.
Yeah, yeah, it really, really was. We've interviewed, I guess almost a dozen, two, four, six, eight, ten, yeah, a dozen people. A dozen regular interviews, not including the Miz conference call this year. We've interviewed a dozen people. See, we're not a big interview show, but when we get an interview, you know.
And you can thank him right there, because he's the one that gets all the interviews.
Mark, tape, praise, right there.
Bam! It's the Christmas show. I have to, you know, give you at least a little praise.
A little bit of praise. Yeah. But, yeah, so, it happened. We've done a lot of different things. We've talked to a lot of interesting people over the year, and we'll get more into it, I think, later. It was one of the questions asked us more about the show from the year. But, yeah, we've interviewed everyone from who were TNA superstars to who are now Ring of Honor superstars, and we interviewed them right in a period where their futures were sort of... They were trying to walk a company line for a company they probably weren't even going to be a part of for another month, which is very interesting when you look back at Daniels and Kazarian. They were trying to walk that party line and promote TNA when they sort of were no longer going to be there in a month or two.
Right.
It's very interesting just to think back at that. We got to interview Natty this year.
We got to talk to a couple Total Divas this year.
Yeah, we got
just Natty, we got Eva Marie.
Yeah, we got Eva Marie as well, which was really, really cool. And she was, despite her abilities and everything, she's a lot of fun to talk to.
She is. She's a really sweet person to talk to. She really is. She's a lot of fun. And, you know, she's trying. And that's all I can applaud, you know, or I shouldn't say that's all I can applaud for her, but I can applaud her for trying. She may not be the best wrestler. She may not be the best talent that they've ever had, but she's trying.
She is trying, and this is where we shamelessly put over Matt Goldberg at youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Because we interviewed him. He was the first guest this year, too.
Yep, he was the first guest. The Miz was the last.
Yeah. Technically, we'll call him the last, yeah. And that's how last year ended, too. We talked to the Miz.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty cool stuff.
It's been an interesting year. We talked to Rob Schomburger, Michael Kingston, Brian Shields.
Yeah, and this is where we shamelessly plug Go Buy 30 Years of WrestleMania. It's an awesome book.
It's a great.
And also the 50 Years of WWE.
It's a great stocking stuffer.
What do you mean it's a stocking stuffer? Have you seen the size of the book? It wouldn't fit in a stocking.
It's great for under the tree.
There you go. Get your plugs right.
Hey, have you seen stockings these days? People buy really giant stockings.
That's like Big Show size stockings.
Yeah, well, I've seen stockings that big. People buy them big these days. Why? I don't know. But they do.
Because they're weird?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, they are. But... Yeah, we also talked to Austin Aries, Edge, you know, we've talked to a variety of superstars, and it's been a fun year of doing this show. And one of the better things that's happened to the show is the WWE Network. Whew.
Yeah, bless the network. I know some people don't like it, I know some people do, I know some people are indifferent, but for me, the network has saved me many times from boredom, which is awesome. Hey, that's what I just realized what I can do tomorrow. Awesome. Forgot about that.
For only $9.99.
But yeah, the network is something that, to me, it's really cool. And to me, it's worth it because you pay $10 a month and you get every pay-per-view that they do. So for $10, I get a quality stream for their pay-per-views sold. It's way cheaper than buying it on TV, buying it on pay-per-view. It's just, it's worth the money right there just to get the shows, and then you get all the additional content. It's awesome.
Which includes what has become a big part of our show this year, which we never thought would NXT.
Yes.
Like, that's sort of taken over our show, and that's become a must-see TV for us on Thursdays.
NXT is so good. Well, the thing is like, you had heard about NXT, and for the international folks out there, we don't get NXT in the States. We did not get it until the network came. So we never got to see it. And it's something we had always heard about how good it was from Mace. And it was like, oh, there's this character and there's this guy and there's this person, but we couldn't frame the reference. And it's funny because when I was living in Utah, I saw Bray Wyatt before he debuted. He came out, I think it was in February of this year. Or no, last year, I should say. I'm sorry.
No, it was May of that year.
May of that year. That's right, because I had to go to a traffic court. Let's forget that. But...
Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, and he came out. And I remember telling Mace about him, and I was like, yeah, he was pretty cool, and, you know, he did this backbend thing in the ring, and he had these awful orange pants, and, and Mace was like, oh yeah, you know, that's Bray Wyatt.
And now Bray Wyatt is
Bray Wyatt, you know, but it's something of, so it's like, oh, okay, well, and it's like you don't have the frame of reference for it. Now, when you see someone like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley and all these people come up to the main roster, we have that frame of reference. And if you have the network, you know, and you watch NXT, you know how good these people are. You know what they're doing down there. NXT is usually better than the main shows, just in terms of the wrestling. Their two-hour takeover was phenomenally good.
All four of them.
All four of them, because you can see that when they give these guys and girls the opportunity to shine, which they do on a frequent basis, they take hold of it and they own it. Like, they don't drop the ball. It's, okay, you're going to want me to grab that brass ring? Okay, I'm going to grab it. And not only am I going to grab it, I'm going to rip it off the hook. Because I can.
Right.
And the things that they're doing down in NXT give me such a wonderful hope for the future of the company. And it's not just from a talent standpoint, because I can't talk. It's from, it goes to production, writing, commentating, announcing, everybody that's in NXT right now is there to learn. So your writing staff is learning, your camera people are learning, your interviewers are learning, the wrestlers, directors, you know, audio, video, all of that. They're all down there learning so they can come up and they can work the main shows. And the way that they're producing the shows, the way that they're being directed, the way that they're being written, handled, it just gives you hope for what could happen to the main roster when some of those people begin to trickle up as other people leave.
Yeah, they're building a nice, nice future. And part of me was like, don't move them up anytime soon. I like them on my NXT.
Right? Yeah, like, you're kind of selfish because it's like, but I like NXT the way it is. But, you know, you would see that improvement. And I think my favorite thing about NXT is the focus that the girls get.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the fact that the female wrestlers down in NXT are taken seriously. And they're handled in a serious manner, that they are a legit serious threat to anybody on the roster. And I love that they do that. I love that they treat the women like that, because that doesn't happen on the main roster. They're usually jokes. They're usually fodder. They're usually filler. And so for me to see that, NXT gives me hope, because NXT is essentially Hunter's vision for what he wants to do for the business.
Right.
And if that's what he wants to do, I am on board for this.
Same here.
So on board, because you look at the guys getting pushed in NXT right now. Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Hideo Itami, Finn Balor. None of them are your atypical stock standard looking wrestler. They're all different looking. They all have their own unique identities, and they're pushing those identities, and it's awesome.
You take that further, Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. Those are guys who came right up from NXT, and they're all mostly going to be big stars in that company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want proof that the NXT system works, and Hunter has said this more than once, look at Bray Wyatt.
Because all you got to do is believe.
No, but seriously, Bray Wyatt, he was Husky Harris, he got sent back down, he had the drive to reinvent himself, and he did.
Oh, yeah.
And they believed in him enough to let him do it, and they built Bray Wyatt with him, and now look at where he's at. So they took somebody that they could have easily fired and easily gotten rid of and said, hey, let's give him a chance and see if we can't make money with him. And they turn him, they all turn him around, including himself, mostly himself, because he's the one that did it. And now he's a bankable star.
Yes, yes, he is. He's becoming one of the future stars of the WWE. Yeah.
So it's something of Hunter is trying to prove that it's like, hey, well, if one thing doesn't work for a person, let's find them something that does work. Let's not just give up on them because we don't think they can do it. If we can find them the right gimmick, any, you know, and this is true for any wrestler, if you can find them the right gimmick, anybody can make money. And that's not to take a shot at anybody in NXT, but it's something of you just have to find that right fit. And once you find that right fit, you're gold.
Completely. Yes. I would agree with that.
So, and the fact that Hunter recognizes that is, yeah, I'm on board for this. Completely on board. Although our show's going to change in 2015 because NXT is moving and SmackDown is moving.
Yeah, yeah. To Thursday.
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 Speaking of Bray Wyatt,
he's very creepy in that commercial. Him and Dean Ambrose are stars in that commercial. I just love in that commercial, Eric Rowan just sitting in the waiting room.
Stuck, just like straight as a board, too.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Like, oh god, what did I do? But yeah. Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, I'm going to be so heartbroken when that feud ends because it gives me such joy to see them try and kill each other every week.
Right. So to put this in a neat little bow, if you thought 2014 was pretty awesome, stick with us in 2015 because we got a couple things in the works already, and they're pretty good.
It's gonna be a real slobber knocker.
Yes, yes, it will, because business will pick up. I think we've said that twice now.
Probably
like that. But, you know, so that's things to come in 2015. Yeah, that's scary to say 2015. So with that, I say we take a break and do what we gotta do with Ask the Rack.
Excuse me, I say that sounds like a plan. So when we come back, because, you know, we're doing a not traditional show on a traditional holiday, we're doing Ask the Rack. So no tweet of the week, no discussion, no nothing like that. We're just doing Ask the Rack, where we have 23 questions. You don't want to miss it because Rock's getting grilled.
Yeah,
so you'll see to
yeah,
the
yeah, I am. And yeah, but I have some of these great tweets talked up badly about the Cowboys. I gotta save them.
It's Christmas. You can't take shots at the Cowboys, especially since the Cowboys are in the playoffs and the Eagles aren't.
Go to break.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! The Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my god! Are you kidding me? Rollins got a piece of Sasha Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
the whole world.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday. With new episodes every Wednesday and Friday, Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
To the Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, where it's the Jingle All the Rack Christmas Holiday Spectacular.
Hey, you got it right.
Go me! Woohoo! I have cookies.
I had gel. I have candy canes.
I'm gonna never eat sugar again after this Christmas. I've had so much sugar in like the last month. It's like, oh.
We all say that every year, and how much sugar do we have the rest of the year?
Yeah, I know. Actually, no. I'm pretty good the rest of the year. I have my moments, but I'm pretty good the rest of the year.
Yeah, So says the random hidden chocolate in certain places.
I was going through withdrawal. What do you want from me?
She has a cookie in her mouth.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yummy.
Can I have one?
No, they're my cookies.
But I want cookie.
You didn't share your gelt.
I still have gelt. I could use my gelt. I'll trade a couple pieces of gelt for a cookie. Might be melted by the time it gets to you.
That's okay, so will the cookies.
I would just cookie with milk as well, because it's chocolate and, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, we have 23 questions we have to get to, or actually technically 21 questions and 2 shots we have to get to.
Yeah, we do. So, let's get into it. Start us off.
So, what is your favorite Christmas song?
I like Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I like Jingle Bell Rock. One of those two sort of are fancy, or that I fancy. You know, the ones I get, especially Jingle Bells or Jingle Bell Rock, get stuck in my head a lot during the Christmas season. Santa Claus is Coming to Town as well. They're a couple of my favorites. Can't really pick one. You know, you hear some and it's like, oh yeah, that's my favorite, and you hear another one, no, that one's my favorite. Sort of like, you also say Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all the, you know, usuals. What about you? I named like 4, so you have up to 4.
I have up to 4? Okay,
yeah.
Well, Sing We Now of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve in Sarajevo, 1224, which is what we came into at the top of the show. White Christmas.
Because you like to dream of that white Christmas.
No, because it's not Christmas until you hear Bing Crosby sing White Christmas. It's just not Christmas till you hear it. And then When Christmas Comes to Town from the Polar Express. Because it's a really cute, pretty little song.
Cute little, pretty little song. Okay. I can go with that. I can relate to that.
Well, it kind of sort of emphasizes what Christmas should be about without bringing the religious connotations into it. So it actually talks about the celebration of the holiday versus what it religiously means.
Right.
Which I like. And it talks about how some of the most important things are, you know, not necessarily presents, but what the season means and what happens during the season, you know, in terms of family coming home and the music and just the...
Keep going. Keep talking.
Yes, that's the right one. Okay. Is that Bing Crosby? Is it?
That's what it says. Bing Crosby.
It doesn't sound like Bing Crosby.
It's the one that came up on the YouTube. That's okay. That's Bing Crosby.
Okay, it doesn't sound like the way that he sings it, because it doesn't sound like the one from the movie. So,
this is
but yeah.
Sung by Bing Crosby in his 1954 musical White Christmas.
Doesn't sound like it.
Anyway, she's being picky about her White Christmas.
There's a certain version of White Christmas, and it's from the film White Christmas, and it's at the very, very end of the movie, where, you know...
I'm dreaming...
Too fast.
...of a white...
Too fast? This is the movie, you do realize this, right? From 1942, right?
What part of the movie?
It says from the 1942 movie Holiday Inn.
Oh, that's from Holiday Inn. That's not from White Christmas.
Alright, I'm working on it. Keep going. Hey, it's what it's labeled. This is YouTube. I'm going off of YouTube.
Yeah, I know it's YouTube, but there is a... No, it's the particular way that he sung it. In White Christmas, and King Kittens will know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, but yeah, it's not Christmas till you hear White Christmas, and there are others, like I love Carol the Bells, I love God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, pretty much anything that Mannheim Steamroller does, I love. I could actually name groups better than I could name songs.
Alright, we're going to try this one more time. Is the right one now?
That's from the movie.
Isn't that what you were asking for?
No, it's particular.
Oh, forget it. Whatever. I was.
Yeah.
Trying.
Moving on. Just ask the next question.
Anyway, no, to finish up the question, yeah, there are certain songs that remind you of your childhood and Christmas and all that stuff. And yeah, so there you go. All right, the next question is we tried three different versions, and she wasn't happy with either version of White Christmas.
Your specific version.
She's very, very picky, I swear to God. Anyway.
I can be picky about my White Christmas, goddammit.
So do you think Seth Rollins is a main eventer?
I think he's a main eventer. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy, though. In terms of being the face of the company, he's good at what he does. I think he will be kind of one of those side type guys. The way I kind of see it when I look at the Shield is I see Roman as The Rock. This is a completely wrong comparison, but I see Roman as The Rock. I see Dean as Austin, and I see Seth as kind of like Hunter. Where Seth, I think, is going to kind of more come into his own later in his career, similar to what Hunter did. Because it took Hunter a while to pick up steam and to really become the person that we know him to be now. And he found a lot of later success as opposed to the more upfront early.
Right.
So I can see Seth being a main eventer, but I never see him really being the guy, at least not until much later in his career. If that makes sense. What about you?
I think he'll always be around the main event, but for him to be the guy who constantly headlines pay-per-views, no. Will he'll be a world champion? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him as the man. I don't see him as the guy who's going to carry a company as its number one heel or babyface. I don't see him as that guy. Will he be in main events? Yeah, because he has the talent to do so. But he's sort of like Daniel Bryan. He's always going to sniff around the main event, have a run in the main event, but he'll never be the man. That makes any sense.
I love Seth, but there's something that he kind of lacks in that intangible quality. I think out of the three in the Shield, Dean is probably going to have the most success.
I would say Roman's going to have the most success because he's going to get the most opportunities.
He's going to get the most opportunities, but there's going to be a point where Roman's going to have to prove himself. And I'm not saying that Roman can't prove himself. I think he can. I just think Ambrose has, in terms of talent, more talent than Roman, especially in terms of charisma, in terms of acting ability, speaking ability, and wrestling ability. Ambrose is really that wrestler that has the complete package. He has everything you want in terms of being able to get over, and he is over. And plus, he has that intangible quality that he has it. You don't know what it is, but he has it. Seth has a little bit of it, not as much as Dean. Roman has the potential to have it. Roman has not proved it yet.
And that's why the three of them together had it.
Mm-hmm. Because each one, they complement each other so well that what the others lacked, one could make up for. And so they each kind of covered for each other's faults, which is fine. Now you're seeing them solo, and you're seeing who the stronger members of that group were, which were Dean and Seth. Mainly because Dean and Seth simply have more experience than Roman. And they're more finely tuned than Roman was. I think a lot of people forget that Roman came up. He was very green when he came up. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Roman, and I know this was about Seth. But Roman was still fairly green. Roman is still fairly green. He has a lot he still needs to learn. And it shows. They're trying to bring Roman up to speed as fast as they can. But I don't know if they're going to get him there just yet. I still say he needs another 6 months to a year. But in terms of Seth, I don't see Seth ever being the man in WWE. I do see him as a main eventer. I see him as a very solid main eventer, but he's never going to be John Cena level main eventer. What about you?
I would agree. I don't see him in the John Cena level. No, just, he's not the next John Cena. No.
Okay. So, somebody wants to know, do either one of us have a favorite wrestling memory?
I'll let you go first.
WrestleMania 27, Atlanta, Georgia. I got to see The Undertaker live and perform at WrestleMania. And that, to me, is one of my all-time top favorite moments because I had promised myself that I was going to see The Undertaker live at WrestleMania before he retired. And that was the last year that Taker was really Taker. If you know what I'm getting at.
Hair, hat, face, everything.
Everything. You know, he was the total package at Mania. That's one of my all-time favorite memories. Also, meeting him was pretty cool. Running into him was pretty cool. He's solid. He's a brick wall.
Was.
Probably still is. I don't intend on running into him to find out.
But if you just so happen to, you know, you'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you do. But, yeah, I think that's at the top of the list. What about you?
It's not a favorite, but it's one of those memories that stick out, right? And this isn't nothing to be eating at a show or anything, but let's go back to 1996, and remember that famous Iron Man match in 1996, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, I think I vaguely recall it.
And me and my friend were on complete opposite sides of the fence on this match. He was for Bret Hart, I was for Shawn Michaels, and sitting there watching it together for 60 plus minutes, when they both were kicking each other's ass, it was just so much fun. That was one of the real memories that, you know, you're a wrestling fan, but when you and a friend or friends are into wrestling and you share that moment with each other, that sort of gets you into wrestling. He was the friend that got me into ECW before ECW became really a thing, which was really cool. But that's a favorite memory of mine. Just sitting there watching it for 60 plus minutes together, who's gonna win, and it ends in a tie where we're both like, oh, and then they have the overtime, and it's like, no, see, told you Shawn would win. Told you. Then you would have bragging rights, you know, and I was, what, 12 at that point? Yeah, bragging rights. Bam. Next day in school, bragging rights over you. Bam. So that's a favorite memory of mine. Alright, so the people want to know, the people, we ask you on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and email. The people want to know, who do you see headlining WrestleMania this year?
Brock and Roman.
Yeah, Brock and Roman. Okay, so that's... Alright, I'm going to change this question. That's what we see happening. Who do we want headlining the show? Who do you want headlining in the show?
Bray and Taker. I don't want to put any stock into that rumor because I know it's just a rumor, and every year this time there's rumors about Taker and whether he's going to come back or not. But if they're going to do it, if they're really going to pull the trigger on Bray and Taker, I would want to see that headline the show. I would want to see that close the show. And I would want to see that be a career match where Taker throws his career up on the line and Taker loses and Bray Wyatt retires The Undertaker. I would fly to San Francisco to see that. And so help me God, if that match happens, my butt is getting on an airplane and I am flying to San Francisco. I've already I'm already looking at airfares.
So we have this little cute little donate button on the website.
Get Lindsay to San Fran.
If that match happens, you may want to click the button.
Yeah. But I also, I heard something about Hunter and Sting. I'm not sure about it.
I think that'd be decent. I'd be okay with that. But yeah, I'm with you. If I had my druthers, I would want to see Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker headline WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
Hell, I'd be okay with Bray Wyatt and Sting headlining this year at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt and Sting wouldn't be as good, but yeah. Bray Wyatt and Taker, and I know, and I'm really conflicted about that match too, because it's like, Taker is not in the best of health. I know he's hurting, and it's something of, it's like, God, would you just please stay home and stop getting in the ring, but at the same time, it's like, oh, Taker and Bray, oh, they could do some amazing things with that feud, and you just really want to see it.
Yeah, yeah, and you just hope it's not a letdown. That's the thing. You hope it's not going to let you down.
That's one of those feuds where the build will be really good and the match will be crap, but that's okay because the build was really good.
That's all you really want. You want the build. The match isn't the match. You want the build.
You want the build and you want the finish. Like, that's all that matters. The actual match, eh, who cares? In something like that, because it's the same thing with, like, Taker and Shawn. Taker and Shawn, the first time, the build was just kind of so-so. At least for me, and then the match was absolutely spectacular, and then the second go-round, the build was really great, but the match was just so-so.
Yeah, it wasn't, well, it wasn't as good as the first match.
Still, nothing tops Shawn Taker 25.
No, nothing really. Well, coming close is end of the era, but...
Yeah.
That's close.
That's close, but Taker Shawn at 25... Oh, God, those two just tried to kill each other, and it was amazing to see.
I think we watched that, well, that was one of the early matches we watched on the network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We sat here one night. We sat here one night and watched it, just because. I think we'll probably do it again this year, WrestleMania time.
Probably, yeah. So, let's see, from Matt Goldberg. Oh, no. What is your favorite WWE figure of 2014, and why?
Okay, since I'm not the collector of said action figures, I'm going to let Lindsay explain and tell you what her favorite action figure that she currently possesses is.
My Wyatts. And I can't pick one. It is my Wyatt family, which are sitting here next to me. The Elite versions. They are really, really nice. Eric has the mask. Luke has the shirt. Bray has the hat, the shirt, the chair, and the lantern. It just all looks really perfect. Although I can say that the Elite Ambrose, when he was in the Shield, is really nice. The Undertaker and Kane's the Kane with the removable mask and hair is really nice. The Taker one where he's old school in the purple and black is super nice.
That was going to be my answer for the question. The Undertaker, black and purple.
Yeah, the black and purple Taker. Oh, it's just pretty.
Just the third. Go ahead.
And it's sitting on my desk at work. But yeah, I would have to say my favorite figures are the Wyatts, with Bray probably being at the top. Because they did a really, really nice job on them. And that's the one thing I can say about the Mattel action figures, is they did a really, really, really nice job on the figures. And the fact that they have accessories is amazing.
I will say, for honorable mention, Blutista as just a concept.
I've seen the Blutista!
Look good?
Yeah, actually it does.
Okay, I want to throw that in there as an honorable mention.
Yeah, and I saw Brian's figures too, and the one where he's got the longer hair is really nice.
See, I haven't seen the Daniel Bryan yet.
I scour Target and Walmart on a weekly basis looking for figures, so yeah.
Yeah, she does, and I only find Usos.
The new Eric and Luke are out, and it's like, oh.
She wants, but she can't has just yet.
Well, it's more there's not enough of a difference in those versus what I have to get them.
Right.
You know? because they're the basics. Like, the set of Luke and Eric are the basics. And I have a basic set. The only difference is like, this set comes with the mask.
Ew.
Instead of the chair.
It's
like, eh.
Well, you already have the mask, so that's, you know, not a thing you're really looking for at this point.
Yeah. So.
Alright, we move on to the next one. Heard you guys were looking for some questions for the show. I wanted to know, how long have you two been friends? We'll answer the second part after.
Huh. How long have we been friends?
2002, 3, 4?
I think it was 4. So 10 years, we've been friends for 10 years.
And we've been really, really good friends for what, 3 now?
Yeah, three and a half.
Yeah, that's a long time.
just to kind of let everybody know, Tim Stein, Mace, Omega, Rock, and myself, we have all known each other for 10 years. Or longer.
If not longer, yeah.
Yeah. Just to let everybody know, but Rock and I, we've been close friends for about 3, 3.5 years now. But yeah, everybody on this network, we've all known each other for at least 10 years. That's scary.
It is scary. The second part of the question is also, what shows do you both enjoy other than pro wrestling? Well, I'll let you go first.
Once Upon a Time.
She got me into that show, and it's an amazing show.
Love Once Upon a Time.
God damn you, Rumpel.
Oh, you evil bastard.
You and your evil magics and stuff. Damn you, Rumpel. Damn you.
Downton Abbey.
I know a lot about that show, even though I've never seen the show.
Tell him everything.
I know the plot lines. I know the characters.
This Christmas special airs on Thursday, just to let you know.
Okay. I'll get a recap on Friday.
Let's see. Anything on HGTV?
I blame her for nights at midnight watching Property Brothers and wanting critiquing things. I think one of her favorite things is when I sit there and critique a TV show as we're watching it.
Yes.
Especially on HGTV, where I sit there and critique what they're doing. But she's got me into what? Property Brothers and,
Property Brothers and, Buying and Selling.
We watched a little bit of House Hunters, but that's just alright.
House Hunters, Love It or List It. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I watch on there. And it all depends on what's on when I turn it on. There's that Flipper Flop that I think that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, he is an idiot. But yeah, whatever the Property Brothers do, whatever spinoff show they've done, I've watched because she's got me addicted to this channel on some aspects.
And then my mom and I like to watch Say Yes to the Dress when we're drunk on Friday nights.
I hear stories about that.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Oh, and of course, you know, football.
Football, yeah.
Yeah, football. But what about you?
Well, baseball and basketball. I watch all the sports. I'm sitting here as we're taping this watching Storage Wars, which is another show which is awesome. Though I do miss Barry Weiss on that show. It kind of misses him, but they brought back Dave Hester, amazingly. Big Bang Theory I like. I really like that show. It's an awesome show. Like, Two Broke Girls I watch on a consistent basis. I am so sad The Newsroom has ended. It was a great show. Only went 25, 4 something episodes, 23. Whatever it is, it was gone too soon. Way too soon. Because especially the third season, they really ramped up the drama for only 6 episodes. Oh, man, that's amazing. Though, I'm not going to spoil it if anyone's never seen it. But it was really, really shocking at the end. Like, I watched some of the comedies on, you know, CBS and stuff. But that's about it right now, because a lot of the other shows sort of gone away. Like, I was a big fan of How I Met Your Mother, but that's ended. And if you have any TV recommendations,
yeah,
tweet them at Media, tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. I'll take TV show suggestions sometimes, because half the shows I used to watch, or I still watch, but they're in reruns. So, new shows would be great, but it's like, when I think of a TV show, I don't want to get started into a TV show unless I know it's going to last. Because you get into that one TV show and it's over in a season, it's like, well, that was a waste of time. But yeah, that was, that's that. So, there you go.
So, all right, well, what is the greatest gift you have ever received for Christmas?
Could say my computer. It's the most recent and awesome gift I have. I guess as a kid, if you go back to childhood, you know, the little things you would get as a child, I guess, would be favorite gifts. Because as you get older, you get, you know, little things here and there. You get more, as you get older, you really get clothes. And I don't think anyone can consider their favorite gift a piece of clothing. Unless your favorite thing is a piece of clothing.
No.
No. So, that's sort of what it is. Alright, here it is. Here's my answer. Money. Money. Favorite gift ever? Money. Why? Because you can do whatever you want with it. No! Seriously, no. The best thing
ever. Your Jewiness is showing.
No, alright. I'll give you the backstory on this. Okay?
Wait, you need a backstory to money?
Will you let me tell my story?
Oh, God, tell your story.
No, as a kid, as a kid, we would go to Grandma's house, and we would get stuff, but as you got older, everyone would get money, and the little card would be on the tree. So that's the backstory to money. It's money picking it off the tree in a card that has your name on it. It's like, oh, here's money. I can buy whatever I want with it. And when you're you know, early teens, that's a big to-do, having real money in your hand. You know what I mean? And you can buy your own stuff. So that's my backstory on money. I was, you know. All right, fine. My computer that's sitting here that we're broadcasting off of right now. Fine. If you want that as a better one. Or how about this? Crossfire. Fire. Yeah, you know, Crossfire, the game. How about that? God. She's disputing money. Jesus. God. What about you? What's the greatest gift you've ever received? If you tell me socks, I'm going to hurt you.
My computer. Without question, my computer, yeah. That was a pretty awesome gift.
See, I had a backstory and many options. You just went straight computer.
I just went straight for it, yeah. Well, I mean, I've gotten a lot of awesome gifts. I'm not going to lie. I'm spoiled. I'm an only child. I'm spoiled. Not even going to lie on that. But yeah, I mean, it's something of, my parents usually get me pretty nice things, and they got me this one year for Christmas, and it was a really nice gift. And anytime you get a new computer or you get some kind of electronics, it's pretty nice. Because, you know, that's like $500 that you don't have to drop on yourself. It's pretty epic.
Right here.
So uh-huh. It's like, oh,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, hey. How about that?
So, okay, we talked about best. What's the worst gift you've ever received?
Oh, clothes, I guess. Some sort of ugly clothing item. I don't really, like, I get, yeah, that's going to be my answer. An ugly piece of clothing that you just have to sort of, oh, that was nice. That was nice and thoughtful. What about you?
My aunt got me this paint-by-numbers kit once. And it was like, and it was impressionist painting, which I hate the impressionists. But yeah, it was like, really? Really? I'm a painter and you got me a paint-by-numbers kit? Really? It was kind of insulting. That and trouser socks. Like, one year my mom got me trouser socks when I was like 15, and I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do with these? Because, you know, you're 15 and you don't understand, and it's like, I don't have any use for these.
Right.
Well, she's like, you can wear them when you dress nice. I'm like, that's what pantyhose are for. You make me wear those, too.
She makes you layer up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say either the paint-by-numbers kit or trouser socks, definitely.
So, what is your big holiday tradition?
We actually have several.
Okay.
Like, we always break out the decorations the day after Thanksgiving, because we will not let my mom decorate before Thanksgiving. In case you were wondering, our house throws up Christmas.
Yeah, her house really does.
It really does throw up Christmas.
I've seen pictures. It really does.
Yeah, and when I live on my own, my house throws up Christmas.
It's what she does.
It's what we do. But yeah, so we decorate big for Christmas, and we bake Christmas cookies, and then we always go to the same Methodist church, and we bargain them down on a Christmas tree. We sound like wonderful people, don't we? And then we bring the Christmas
tree. Hold on. She shows her inner Jew.
I do. No, actually, my mom does. It's my mom that bargains
still, them down. Still, inner Jew, it's awesome.
Yeah, she's great at it, but...
I'm so proud.
Yeah, you would be. If you saw some of the deals she's gotten in the past, you would be. And then we bring the tree home, and we let it open up, and I always put the star on the top of the tree.
Nice.
And then we always have cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning, and then on Christmas Eve, we go light-looking after dinner. Or we drive around and look at everybody's Christmas lights. It's awesome.
Can't wait for those stories. They're going to be amazing.
What about y'all?
We don't have that many traditions. Like, over the years, the traditions sort of have stopped. The main one now is go to my brother's house for Christmas. That's becoming a new tradition. And as far as the tree goes, we get it like a week or so beforehand. We light it. We have it all up. And then, like, the day before New Year's, it all comes down. It's like, we're getting rid of this sucker. But yeah, that's sort of it. As younger, when we go to grandmother's house, and you do all that fancy stuff. But as people gotten older, they all have their families, so it's you try to find a different location.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, it's simple. Since half Jewish,
Well, what are your Hanukkah traditions?
None now.
None now.
None now.
Aww. Fail. So, all right. Now here come the shots.
Let me get something. No, let me get...
Just brace yourself.
I want to get a piece of candy for this one.
Would you rather have Mark Sanchez or Tony Romo as your quarterback?
I was trying to get the paper out of my mouth. Tony Romo. I'm not stupid. Tony Romo was a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez. It's not that hard.
How does it feel knowing the Falcons, an awesome team, but not quite over 500, could make the playoffs over the Eagles?
No. Read the question.
Reading the question, because he takes a shot at the Falcons, and I'm not reading that.
How does it feel knowing the Falcons, a sub-500 team, could make the playoffs over the Eagles? And he writes, had to get two shots in, I'm done now. I'm disappointed that you only took two. Could have came up with about 20, we would have read them all. I don't hide it from anything on this show. It sucks, but it happens. I mean... When you lose your starting quarterback, you're sort of just winging it from there. And that's what happened to the Eagles. They lost their quarterback. And they tried to believe in Mark Sanchez. It's not that great. That's the thing. He always throws interceptions at the wrong time. Nick Foles threw interceptions, but he threw them at times where you could recover. Mark Sanchez always are in killer situations. And that's what sort of happened in the last 3 weeks against Seattle, Dallas, and Washington. Key interceptions killed the game. So, I'm rooting for the Falcons. I think they can beat the Panthers on Sunday. So, we're all on the Falcons bandwagon.
We got a 50-50 shot. We'll see how this goes.
You don't say you have a 50-50 shot since it's two teams tied. One team wins, one team loses. That is 50-50.
Well, it all depends on which team shows up. That's a thing. Because, if the Falcons don't get out of the locker room, then we got a problem. That's why I'm saying 50-50. The Falcons should actually show up and play the game, Or they could stay in the locker room and get their asses kicked. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you really, really don't.
That's the 50-50 shot. No, we could actually win the game, but, you know, that's not likely, honestly. With the way they're playing, no. But we'll see. So, all right. Next question.
No, before we get to our next question, that was the best you had, really? Just saying. Could have done better.
He's saving them up.
This is an opportunity. Why would you save them up when this is the golden opportunity?
Because he knows we'll do another one.
When?
When we need to.
When we need to. But no, he has all the shots in the world. He could have taken at the Eagles, and he just...
He takes them all during the show!
I understand this, but he could have asked some questions, and he just sort of didn't. I'm disappointed in his shots. I thought they would have been harsher.
Well, you can berate him about it on Saturday night.
No, I just did now, because he'll listen to this, and he'll be like, damn, I should have taken more shots.
Well, he'll take them Saturday night.
Oh, that won't matter then.
We're disappointed in you, Kane Kittens. Grab the brass ring.
Right? He failed to grab that brass ring that's being thrown out there. Shame on you. Shame. Anyway.
Okay.
Next question. Is it my turn or your turn?
Your turn.
Is Christmas better with or without snow? I like Christmas with snow. Not a lot. Just saying, like, coating on your lawn. Inches, no. Coating? Yeah. Awesome. Always fun when there's a little bit of snow on the ground. Just makes it look like a white Christmas. Sung by Bing Crosby. Just not the three versions I found. But, yeah, to me, it's better with a little bit of snow. Like, when you see Santa Claus. On Thanksgiving. See, that's a better tradition. Watching the Thanksgiving parade is the kickoff to Christmas. The Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
You wait for that moment. Hey, it's Santa. He's in New York and Philadelphia at the same exact time. He's magic. Santa is magic. Just saying. Anyway. What about you? Better with or without? Since you've had both now.
Since I've had both, it's better... If there's snow on the ground, to me, mm-hmm. It's prettier. I'm with Rock. A coating on the ground, or if you're going to do inches, if the snow doesn't stick to the sidewalk and the roads, that's really nice. And it's just on the ground. That's really nice. Because it's something of snow is very pretty. Snow is just a pain in the butt if you have to go out and do anything in it, especially if it's on the roads. So... Yes, a white Christmas is always pretty because it's the quintessential Christmas where it's cold and there's snow and you have a nice fire and the family's all gathered around the tree and you have a nice dinner. You know, that's what the Norman Rockwell-esque idea of what Christmas should be. So, yeah, it's always nicer with a white Christmas. Christmas in shorts, it does have its merits. Just saying.
It does.
So, what is your favorite or most memorable rack moment from the past year? Kane.
All right, I'm going to discount Kane because we went over Kane already.
Kane.
Kane is the favorite.
Kane, yes, Kane is the favorite. Kane is the hashtag favorite.
But I'm discounting him for a moment, alright? Because I held off on the story from earlier. I want to talk about Edge. That
Oh, yeah.
That, what, 25 minutes we got to spend with Edge?
It was awesome.
We got to laugh and have fun with Edge. And he's number two interview of the year, right behind Kane.
My favorite thing about the Edge interview was that they couldn't get him on the phone. He was in some ungodly place in Canada, and his phone didn't work, and we couldn't do the interview with him at the time that we were supposed to because they couldn't get him on the phone. So we actually ended up getting to interview him a little bit later, and because of that, I think we got a little bit of extra time with him. so we got to ask him everything. And yeah, that was awesome because he's such a nice guy.
And that's our luck with Edge, because the first interview WTR did with Edge, we waited, 3 hours for him?
Yeah, we were supposed to interview him, and they couldn't get him on the phone, or he was doing something else, or yeah, he wasn't able to do the interview, and so we were waiting for them to let us know, hey, he's ready to go, and we were sitting there watching Monday Night Raw interviewing Edge one Monday night because he was late, and it was just like, and he took time, and that's the cool thing about him is he took time out of his day to ensure that we got the interview that first time, because he actually had guests at his house while we were talking to him, and he had told them that he had to do this interview because he had promised to do it, and so he took time out of his schedule to make sure it got done.
And when we took 30 minutes of his time that night, which was really, really awesome, and the second time around, me and Lindsay just sat there, we had a ball with him. We even brought up the moment with him, and he had a laugh with about it. It's like, we've run into bad luck trying to get you on the phone twice now. It's awesome. But yeah, he was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs with Edge. Like,
he's just a genuinely really nice, kind, warm person. You can tell. Very, very down to earth. And yeah, Edge was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
So yeah, besides Kane.
Edge.
And the most memorable moments are moments we cannot bring up on air.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, we just can't really. Anyway. Next question. What one food do you need to have for it to feel like Christmas season? I.e. candy corn for Halloween, jelly beans around Easter, etc., etc., etc.
Sugar cookies. Decorated sugar cookies.
Candy canes. Or Hanukkah gelt. That was a simple enough answer. I think it's our shortest answer so far.
So far, yeah. So what is the one holiday special movie show you need to see every year?
That's the thing. I haven't watched any really Christmas movies so far this year. That's weird. I usually, last year I went out of my way to go to Christmas movies, but I just don't have the time right now to watch it. Like, trying to sit there and dedicate 2 hours to watch a movie has been really tough lately. But I would say Home Alone is one of them. The Santa Claus is one. That's another one. And
those were both on tonight.
Of course they were. I didn't know that. Damn it. Because I watched them. Or at least recorded them. Son of a gun. That and Christmas Vacation. That's a Christmas movie. Go watch it. But what about you?
There are several.
So we're not sticking to the one. Just pointing.
No, we're not sticking to the one. No. No, because there are actually several. And one of them, they don't air at all. So, Rudolph, which is the quintessential movie.
That's a good one, too. I watched that earlier this year. It's good.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Right.
Let's see. White Christmas. Have to watch White Christmas.
Have you watched White Christmas yet?
I have, yes.
Nice.
And I think AMC might be doing a marathon of it again this year on Christmas Eve, so I'm going to have to see if they're going to show it again. I'm sorry, I love the fashion in White Christmas. Whoever did Rosemary Clooney's costumes, holy crap, they're awesome. Nobody dresses like that anymore. And let's see. Rudolph, Santa Claus, White Christmas, A Christmas Story.
Hey, Home Alone 2 is on right now. It's recording this. Anyway, keep going.
And a movie that probably nobody has heard of, but it's called Santa Claus the Movie.
Now, which one?
The one with Dudley Moore.
Okay.
With like John Lithgow and Dudley Moore, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They never show it on TV, ever. But it is one of my all-time favorite holiday movies. I was obsessed with it when I was a kid. My mom was ready to burn the tape. But yeah, those are my probably top five movies that I have to see during the holiday season, or else it's just not Christmas.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Alright, next.
Alright, we're just going to take the shot. I'm warning everybody now. If you could cast Wild Talk personalities as famous holiday figures, Rudolph, Frosty, Santa, Scrooge, who would they be and why?
Since we sort of got out of the way on Sunday, the joke is, hey, guess who Scrooge is?
Tim Stein?
There you go.
Yeah, see? Took the shot.
Rudolph.
Rudolph.
Huh.
I would say you're Rudolph because we all make fun of you, but you end up saving our asses every time.
All right, I'll take it. And how often do I save your ass?
Every week.
Every day.
Every day.
I'm
just saying.
I know. I'll agree with that one. I can't think of anyone else different. That works. Frosty. Who would be Frosty? Oh. I'd say Rob.
Yeah.
I think Rob works for Frosty.
I could see Rob as Frosty.
I just imagine him with the corn pipe in his mouth, and that's sort of, you go from there. But Santa, who is our Santa? It's like
WWE.
It's not a WTR personality. Like, between Omega and Maze, neither one is jolly.
You know what? King Kittens.
There you go. We'll let him be the jolly.
Because he's so jolly and giving.
And he works all year round.
And he works all year round.
If you could do one thing over again from this past year, what would it be?
If I could do one thing over from this past year.
Make sure Skype works all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, honestly, I would redo my move.
Yeah, there are many reasons why.
Yeah, there are many reasons why, and I'm not going to get into them. But honestly, if I could go back and I could redo something, it would be to redo my move and to redo other things associated with the move. Just saying.
Just saying, yeah. I know. Anyway, next question.
Do you prefer to get one big gift for the holidays or many small gifts?
Big.
Medium.
That wasn't your option.
Well, I'm inventing option C. Deal with it.
Medium is a good answer, but I big gift, if going by the question, big gift, but medium gifts are pretty cool.
The thing is it's like the way that we do it in my family is we do like, you get a big-ish gift, but you get a lot of other gifts, too.
Right.
Like, you don't just get one big gift, and then that's all you get. Like, for us, you get a big-ish gift, and then you get other gifts as well.
Right, you get your main gift and then little things around it. Yeah, that's how we do it.
Well, we don't have a main gift. That's a thing. It's like you get that one. It's like 1 year I got my computer, but I also got, like, clothes and stuff.
But that's what I mean. Your one big-ish gift is your main gift. That's the big gift.
Yeah.
And then you have the little things around it. That's what I mean. That's the same thing you just said. And you were just.
But they're not little. My family's weird. Just.
But you, I was talking in the general sense, not in size. Jesus.
Move on.
She frustrates me. What are you asking for the holidays? Bray Wyatt is not a suitable answer.
Dean Ambrose.
I got what I want at the computer.
What am I asking for the holidays? The one thing I want can't be left under a tree. Actually, several things that I want can't be left under a tree. So, I just asked, I think, for clothes and stuff. clothes and perfume and girly crap.
There you go.
Because I want a house, so...
That does not... Well, technically, you could fit that under a tray with a piece of paper.
Yeah, but it would be awkward. So, but yes. Dean Ambrose. Since apparently I can't ask for Bray Wyatt.
You could ask for...
But I asked for Bray Wyatt.
I'm surprised you didn't ask for Eric Rowan.
Short of baking him cookies, what am I gonna, what the hell am I gonna do with him?
He needs a home.
And I will give him a home if he wants a home.
That's what I'm saying. You could, he could have been gifted to you to give him a home.
It doesn't work like that. He has to follow you home.
Okay. That means you need to bake the cookies for him to follow you home. Okay. Anyway, next question.
Who do you think will finish the next year as WWE champ, IC champ, US champ, tag teams, divas?
Huh. All right, let's start with the title. We'll work our way to the top on divas champion. End of next year. Paige. Same time too. That was awesome.
One brain.
See, that's the one brain stuff you don't see. It's those moments right there.
Yeah, it's those moments that are some of our favorite moments because it just happens.
It just sort of happens. All right, tag team champions.
Usos.
I was thinking Usos too.
Well, it's who has the likelihood of being together at the end of 2015, and honestly, the Usos are the most likely to be together. Because they're going to break Golden Stardust up. They're probably going to break the Matadors up, or they're going to get rid of them. Lord only knows what the Ascension are going to be doing. So.
Yeah. The Usos. Yeah, I'll go with that. By the way, King Kins, write these down and remind us next year if we're right. Just playing that one out. U.S. champion.
Who is the U.S. champion right now?
Rusev.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Ain't gonna be Rusev.
No, it's not gonna be Rusev. Well, no, Lana hasn't come out with the belt, so...
No, Rusev's been carrying it.
Damn it, Rusev, stop carrying Lana's belt. We all know she's U.S. champion. Just, you know...
Let her hold her pretty belt.
Let her hold her pretty belt. U.S. champ. Sami Zayn.
Bo Dallas. Intercontinental champion.
I'm gonna go with Bo Dallas.
Now the right answer I would say for me to say would be Sami Zayn. I'll go with Adrian Neville. Which means your WWE champion is...
Bray Wyatt.
You know, sadly, end of next year, probably going into Rumble. Pretty good time for him.
Bray Wyatt. I bet that's when he gets it. If they're gonna do it.
I'm gonna say Seth Rollins. It'll be his second title reign, Seth Rollins.
Because we all know how he's going to get the first.
Yeah, we all just sort of do. All right, we're gift giving now. If you could buy a gift for the following people, what would you get them? Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose.
Stack of ones to take the strip club.
I was gonna say a gift basket of alcohol.
We know him. It's just like
just some nice fancy bottles of alcohol, Jack Daniels and the like. I think that would be a perfect gift for Dean Ambrose. Eric Rowan.
He's a hard one. Because we don't know a lot about Eric.
I want to give him the game of Risk so we can conquer the world.
I want to give him cookies.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt.
I give him back Luke. What? You know that's a good answer.
Oh, it is a good answer, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if those three don't get back together in 2015.
No, but for a real answer, let's fancy Bray Wyatt up. Let's give him some high quality Hawaiian shirts.
Pants that fit.
There you go.
Poor baby needs a belt.
Really? Luke Harper's not on this list? Okay. Cesaro.
We'll add him.
We'll add him at the end. Cesaro. By the way, yeah, Cesaro.
A nice tie and puck square set.
A new beret.
Star and gold dust.
Alright, gold dust, earplugs, so his brother doesn't scream in his ears anymore. For Stardust. I don't know. What about you? What are you giving Goldust first?
Therapy.
And Stardust?
Therapy.
Yeah, I'll go therapy because they both need it.
Especially for Stardust. I'm sorry. I am not a fan of Stardust at all.
No, I know what I'm giving Stardust. A cat.
Why in the hell would you give him a cat?
So he can purr to the cat, and the cat can purr back to him, and they both can scream in each other's faces. He goes,
ah! Yeah, okay. No.
That's why I'm giving him a cat. He's getting a cat.
So Paige...
I think she pretty much has everything. She's in a pretty good spot right now. I don't know what I would give Paige. What would you give Paige?
Jewelry.
Alright, I'll hop on that train.
Damian Mizdow.
Sam. That's when I'm giving him back sand. You get it?
No.
Damien Sandow?
Oh.
I'm giving him back sand.
You're giving him back his name.
Yeah. Give him back sand.
I'm going to steal his slammy back and give it to him.
Because at some point he needs to go back to being Sandow. Ms. Dowell's awesome, but at some point he needs to become Sandow again.
They're teasing it. It's coming. He's going to break loose again because he's over, so they're probably going to bust him loose again. Luke Harper.
Target undershirts.
Wife beaters.
Well, that's what I mean. Same thing. I went to Target for them, though.
Wherever I can find them, yeah. That and a shower.
There you go.
Because Lord knows that child needs it.
Yes, yes he does.
Finish this sentence. Blank uses blank. It's super effective. Bonus points for Rock if he can spell the answers correctly.
Anyway.
F uses U. It's super effective.
I could make the really horrible joke of Christian uses King Ken's ass. It's super effective. So I'll use that joke.
He did take two shots.
He did. Well, technically a third.
Uh-huh.
So that's my answer. What's your answer?
F U uses U. It's super effective.
And finally, do chickens have large talons?
And the ones that fight do.
There you go. There's your answer, Matt Goldberg.
So, that's Ask the Rack.
That is Ask the Rack. And boy, you got some answers and you got some questions. We thank everybody for the questions.
Yes, thank you very much.
There are some interesting questions.
So save them up because we'll probably be doing them again soon for another holiday at some point.
Probably.
But anyway, I say we're done.
I do say Jingle All Iraq is done.
So everyone, thank you so much for listening, for tuning in on Christmas Day when you're spending time with your family, your loved ones, or with yourself, which you should love yourself always. So again, thank you so much for listening. It's been an awesome 2014.
We've had a lot of fun in 2014. And as we mentioned, big things ahead in 2015.
That's right, because we will be coming to you New Year's Day next week in 2015, where we're probably going to be making some big announcements, potentially. So you don't want to miss that. Stay tuned in. Please check out our awesome sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Don't forget to go to RackRadioShow.com and check out all the awesome things that we've done. Go to WildTalkRadio.com. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio. Email us at media@WildTalkRadio.com. You can tweet me at Linz Ward. You can go to my website, PsychWardDesigns.com. And you can go to my Behance, Behance.net/Linz Ward. Same as Twitter. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. A Merry Christmas to all. A happy Hanukkah to all, a blessed Kwanzaa to all, and if you celebrate none of those things, happy Thursday. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack, Jingle All the Rack, Christmas Spectacular, and we will see you next week. Bye!
We all will be together if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow.